Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Modern Math Teacher Podcast. I'm Kristen Moore, your host, and today we are talking all about effective math instruction. With so many different approaches to pedagogy out there, I know it's hard to know what works best in the classroom. And spoiler alert, there isn't one best approach. Instead, best practices have us using multiple approaches as we teach a variety of content. We already know that we aren't teaching the sit and get generation. Today, we're going to unpack different approaches to take to keep students engaged and student learning at the forefront. We're talking lesson planning with a purpose. When we know the purpose of the standard, we can plan to attend to the purpose of the lesson and use the right approach to maximize student learning outcome. Now, let's get started. So we're going to get started with some bigger picture planning first, and that is your unit plan. It's easy to get bogged down in the day-to-day grind planning one lesson at a time. But when you take the time to plan holistically for a unit, you can save yourself time and sanity by crafting lessons that lead to maximum impact. And that is what we're all about, right? When we're thinking of these big picture plans for our unit, it's important to understand your curriculum goals, your student needs, and your available resources. Unit planning involves taking a look at the entire scope of work covered within a unit. Which standards are involved? What prior knowledge is needed? And where does something fit within the overall trajectory of your course? This is going to help us figure out if we're going to take a project-based approach or a practice and problem-solving approach to that unit. Now, for units introducing foundational concepts and procedures that need to be mastered in order to use in future units and courses, we want to take the practice and problem-solving approach. Mixing in a variety of lessons designed to build conceptual understanding and practice and develop procedural fluency. Now, this provides our students with the opportunity to connect ideas and master key skills needed for success in mathematics. In Algebra 1, this looks like units on solving equations and inequalities. In geometry, it's our foundational proof chapters, and in Algebra 2, it includes polynomial arithmetic. Each of these units requires students to build on their understanding of operations and math concepts from previous courses. They need to refine that understanding and make new connections and master a set of procedures to be used and applied later in the year or in future courses. Now, these units often need very few resources. Your curriculum acts as a great guide for providing examples, notes, and built-in practice. You can also embed thinking tasks or principles from sources like Mathematics, utilize collaborative whiteboard space or mini whiteboards. Manipulatives may also be useful for some of those conceptual tasks. Procedural practice can come in the form of print or digital, whatever is your preferred method. Now, for units focusing on modeling real-world applications, these are my favorite. This is where we want to take a project-based approach. We can design a PBL to meet the curriculum goals, student needs, and available resources, all while maximizing student engagement and understanding of the mathematical concepts. And that's what we're all about, after all. Am I right? So these units need more resources, including connections with experts in person or digitally through videos and articles, an outside audience or a public display space, and materials to create their final products. That could be, you know, digital items like Canva or iMovie or Tinkercad or physical building materials, tools, measuring apparatus, etc. In Algebra 1, these might be things like your linear functions unit. Geometry applications with volume and surface area are fantastic project-based units. In Algebra 2, quadratic functions or exponential functions are really wonderful ways and applications to use with a PBL-designed unit. Now, if you're looking at your curriculum and you're not sure what the major focus of the upcoming unit is, I want to encourage you to download our latest guide, Project or Practice, the Expert Guide, with the top 10 topics for your course. From middle school to Algebra 1, Geometry, and Algebra 2, we've got a little bit of everything covered. This free resource helps you quickly and easily identify the primary objective of your unit and the overall plan that you should take based on the overarching goals that you have. All right. Remember, it's through identifying that purpose and these overarching goals that we can determine the most appropriate instructional approaches to meet the needs of our students. And with that, let's dive into figuring out how to lesson plan with each different type of focus. So Now that we know how to determine the focus of the unit, we want to unpack a little bit more about the lesson planning within the units, okay? In our project-based units, you're planning the lessons where students are going to engage in hands-on, inquiry-based learning experiences. Students will also need the opportunity to work collaboratively with others and work through the entire project process. So this may mean you need days in your class where mathematics content takes a back seat for the sake of your overall project goals. Project-based units work through a series of phases. The project launch, where we are introducing the project idea, the essential questions, and we work with our students to identify the know and need to know information that will include both math content and content related to the context of the project that may be outside your field of expertise. After we've piqued their interest in the project with the project launch, it's time to start building knowledge, okay? This is when experts or curated expert resources can come into play for the non-mathematical content. For math content and skills, you may find yourself delivering a lesson in whatever traditional format you're used to, whether that's direct instruction, blended instruction, student-based. The sky is the limit. There may even be days that you are focused specifically on procedural skills or conceptual development that will help your students ultimately reach the goal of the project. And that is totally okay. PBL and direct instruction are not enemies. You can use one inside the other. It's important to keep the arc of the project in mind, as you may find yourself sequencing lessons in an order that's different from what your curriculum suggests, but in a way that's more naturally scaffolding the student learning throughout the project process. And remember, that's totally okay. You're the expert in your classroom. You know what you're doing. As we build our knowledge, we want to work with students to develop that knowledge and enter the phase of critique. So some days, this might look like, you know, students intentionally connecting those math skills to their projects. Other days, it'll look like a fully project-focused day where your students are researching and gathering that expert knowledge, collaborating with their group. They could be building prototypes, etc. Anything students need to do that isn't exactly math-related. Now, students also enter the critique phase when they share out their work with other groups or experts for feedback and revision, and we want to make sure that we build these days in there. Project-based units end with a presentation, often showcasing their knowledge with a final product and some sort of culminating event, sharing verbally what they have understood and developed throughout the project. Finalizing a project with individual or group reflection helps to cement that learning and really draw the connections between past knowledge and current knowledge. Now, on the other hand, a practice-focused unit where students are developing procedural fluency through targeted practice and reinforcement activities, this is what textbook companies and curriculum materials are designed to maximize. So this is where we are going to work smarter, not harder, and work with the curriculum that we've been given. You want to consider your students' readiness to approach the topic, uncover the underlying foundational math skills that your students need to build upon in the topic, and identify what skills are going to be transferable from this unit onto others. This is going to help you identify what skills you may need to spiral back to in your lessons to ensure that your students are successful. This will help you select appropriate tasks and examples from your materials or define and create ones to support your students in the learning journey. A really great approach to this is a like review, preview style of warm-up where you review a foundational student skill in one problem, and the problem next to it kind of bridges the gap into what is upcoming in that topic, that next skill that you're working on. You'll also want to reference the assessments to determine which skills are explicitly tested and make sure that you've given your students a variety of ways to learn and master that throughout the unit. It's really important to develop coherence and progression in your lesson sequencing so you can scaffold student learning effectively. So when looking at your curriculum, you may need to alter the sequence of lessons to support your students based on their previous learning. And again, remember, you're the expert. This is your classroom. You can do what's best for you and your students. Now that we have considered the unit type, what kind of planning we need to do, and unpacked a bit about what type of lessons happen within that type of unit, we want to bring it down to what teachers do most often, and that is the daily lesson plan. Honestly, regardless of which approach your unit takes, writing and crafting the lesson plan is unique to each individual teacher. It's just what's going to go in the lesson plan that's going to be different. So when designing your daily lesson plan, I want you to consider integrating various instructional methods, such as direct instruction, guided practice, independent exploration, to address the diverse student needs and learning objectives of your lesson. You want to mix up your instructional approach with different learning activities mixed throughout the week to ensure that you're meeting the needs of all the students and you're attending to the components of rigor that you are addressing with the standards you are teaching. You always, always want to start with what are the major goals of the lesson, what standards are involved, and what type of standard are they? Are they procedural? Are they conceptual? Are they applicable or a combination thereof? The type helps us determine some of the major learning activities that should take place within your lesson. So let's take a look at some of the major learning activities you may have depending on what you are teaching. Now, when you are teaching procedures and procedurally focused standards, your lesson may provide some direct modeling and guided practice with ample opportunities for students to independently practice the skill, whether that be with whiteboards, worksheets, task cards, digital practice sets like Khan Academy or Delta Math, any way in which students can get that repetitive practice in to build up that procedural fluency. When you're teaching for conceptual development, we want to ensure that we have learning activities where students have time for independent exploration, collaborative problem solving, and discussions to consolidate their learning, building on that knowledge that they have had from the past and really seeing how connected the mathematics concepts are. And finally, when you're teaching applications, we want to showcase a variety of ways in which math can be used and how you can dissect a problem to identify what you know and what you need to know and how you're going to solve and work with that problem. You want to consider group problem solving and individual practice to help students hone in on their problem solving skills and develop that perseverance in problem solving. Now, specifically, if you are working in a project-based unit, you're also going to want to build in intentional opportunities for students to work on developing their non-math necessary skills and knowledge for this topic. This can include independent or collaborative research days, playing video clips or documentaries, inviting in experts, or setting aside time for creating and constructing. As is always best practice, you guys, make sure that you are incorporating formative assessment and reflection into your daily lesson planning to monitor student progress and adjust instruction as needed. Whew. All right, y'all, this has been a really fun one. Lesson planning isn't the 8-page plans that we used to write in college anymore. Instead, we lesson plan our own way, as long as we lesson plan with purpose. We need to holistically look at a unit and its overarching goals, determine the unit focus we want to take, project-based or practice and problem-solving. And we break each unit down into a cohesive sequence of lessons to scaffold student learning and support mastery of content, even if that means rearranging your textbook or popping in lessons that you need to support your students. From there, we break down the lessons into a set of learning activities designed to attend to the rigor of the standards within the lesson. Purposeful lesson planning ensures that you're meeting the diverse needs of the learners in your classrooms and you're maximizing those learning outcomes. So teachers, now it's time for your homework. I want to encourage you to apply the strategies discussed today for your own lesson planning practices. Consider the unique context of your classroom and your instructional goals. If you need help determining the overall focus of each unit, make sure you download the Project or Practice Expert Guide at morethanjustx.com/guide. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. Crafting lesson plans doesn't have to be a monotonous chore that we all dread. It's where we get to craft and curate our expertise into designing the best learning experiences for our students. So keep on learning all these best practices, keep on planning with purpose, and stay tuned next week as we dive in to how we can merge the best of two instructional approaches into one epic class. And as always, my friends, keep it real.